I'm on the road to recovery, step by step.
I want to welcome everybody to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group Thursday night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. Let's have our joke now.
Hey, Spencer, alcoholic joke teller.
Hey, Spencer.
I got another one from Take Me to Your Sponsor, Best Jokes and Cartoons from AA Grapevine. I was at a party with sober friends when I met an attractive woman who seemed interested in me, so I asked her out. She politely shrugged and said, "No thanks." It really surprised me. I asked, "Why? Is it my age?" She replied, "No, age doesn't matter." Well then, I asked, "Is it my religion?" She said, "No, religion doesn't matter either." Bewildered, I asked, "I don't get it. Is it because you're married?" She replied, "No, I'm single." I was totally perplexed, so I said, "I'm confused. Why won't you go out with me? Is it because I'm sober?" She said, "No, it's because I'm sober."
Even with the interruption of impeccable delivery there, huh? Nice going, Spencer. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Guy.
Hey, Guy.
Before we get started, we get some business out of the way. We got our secretary's report down. Would you come up and help us? Thank you.
All right. Hey, everyone. Good evening. My name's Don, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. Hey, guys. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. This is the last meeting before Christmas, so have a be in the Christmas spirit when it comes to giving here. So we also have QR codes in the back of the chairs for those who are tech-savvy, cashless. Now, I've asked Taylor to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering, and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. Taylor, please.
You're an alcoholic? Okay. We are not cured of alcoholism, recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime, but we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem, the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Stuff. All right, moving along. 1940 style big book sponsorship from Foreword to the Second Edition. Alcoholics Anonymous, of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. And what we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Now, is anyone looking for a sponsor tonight? Cool, we have one. We have a lovely lady here looking for a sponsor. Anyone else? We have a gentleman back there looking for a sponsor. All right, nice. We have a third person looking for. We have people in need of sponsors tonight. The good news is you're in the right place. It's like having a heart attack in a cardiologist convention. We have a bunch of people here that are willing to sponsor. So those who need sponsors after the meeting, there's another person there. Hang out in the back there by the piano there, and someone will find you, and the dance of sobriety will begin. So took a lot of courage to raise your hands. I was once in your spot looking just as clueless, looking for a sponsor, and I found one in AA. He's here right now as well. Merry Christmas, John. All right. Can all the recovered alcoholics raise their hands? Hell yeah. If your hand was not raised, we suggest you hang out with those who were. Got some announcements here. Don't have a screen tonight, so I'm going to wing it. Intergroup is where you buy your AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our where and when and scheduling that AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. BCIC is responsible. Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get out to an AA meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Will all the members of BCIC in the house please stand? Oh, wow, nice. Two people, nice.
Good stuff.
For those who are looking to get involved with BCIC, I suggest you talk to the two people that stood up. I'm sure they'll get you going in BCIC. Let's see here. Well, that's it for that. Off the top of my head, we have Stevie B here two more nights, tonight and the 26th. After Stevie B's done here on the 26th, we have Tom M. coming in from Arizona. The man from Arizona is coming in. He'll be here for 6 weeks. Let's see here. Tonight we don't have CDs, mugs, large prick, big books, little red books, big book dictionaries for sale because they're not set up. You'll have a chance to purchase those said items on next Thursday. We meet every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15 p.m. We ask that you be courteous and begin at the Road to Recovery tune. Enjoy tonight's meeting.
Thank you, Don. You know, we're a little disheveled tonight. We were supposed to be at the sanctuary at the other church, and like at 6:15, they said, we've got a thing going here, so we moved over here. We don't have some of the accoutrements that we normally have, but we've got Stevie B tonight. And thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation. So please take a moment to get situated. Turn off all those noisy devices that might make noise or will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everybody ready? All right, let's start the meditation. Usually have that fog-like prayer up on the screen. So those who know it, join me with that. God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those that are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. Thank you. There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we've discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I've asked Rachel to read A Spiritual Experience from Appendix 2. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one. So it's kind of important to know what one is. Thanks, Rachel.
Okay. Hi, my name's Rachel. I'm an alcoholic. Spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though that is not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unexpected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Thank you, Rachel. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so we ask you to set your phones to airplane mode or just turn them off. And tonight, we've got back for his fifth session. I'm sure he won't disappoint us again. He did a great job. Stevie B.
Everybody, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. My name is Stevie B. I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovering alcoholic. My home group is the Golden Text Group of Hollywood, Florida, and my name is Stevie B.
Hey, Stevie.
And, it's great to be here with you guys, and it's Christmas season, and I'm just feeling so wonderful. My mom's here, as you guys know, and I was here half an hour early. It was shocking. I always wonder what it looked like early in a meeting, and I get to experience it today. A dear friend of mine, Sheldon, helped pray with me earlier. And the great thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is you never leave the meeting the way you came in. It's such a blessing. It's really incredible. And you can sometimes change in the first couple seconds. Sometimes it takes to prayer, you know, from the first prayer to the last prayer. Sometimes as we finish the Lord's Prayer right at the end, at the Amen, that's when the miracle can happen. But you never know where the miracle is going to happen in a meeting with Alcoholics Anonymous. That's why we always come prayer to prayer, and God will do something amazing as he always does. So thank you, Sheldon. We prayed the third step prayer before we started speaking, because it's really a we meeting. And we ask God to enter into the room. We ask him to remove away our difficulties so that victory over them will be able to shine a light through us so that you'll be able to see that this thing that we're in is a lot more than just staying sober. It's a lot more than just staying sober. It's spiritual in nature. It's supernatural in nature. It's I hope you find a home in here, because that home will clear away the poop that's on the windows, as we've been speaking about the last couple weeks, so that the sunlight of the Spirit can shine through, so that the energy inside you will come out, and the Lord can make that irradiate through all over the place. And that's what he's doing in our lives. And it just feels great. I want to read to you about a little bit of the problem, because we have a lot of new people in here. As a matter of fact, this is a couple people's, maybe 10 people's first meeting. So it's really important that we discuss a little bit of the problem. Not that they don't know the problem. They definitely know the problem. But here's the problem. Page 52 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous talks about these things called the bedevilments. Just the word bedevilments, we know, not good. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. One of the first problems identified, personal relationships, having a problem with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. This is part of the problem when we first get here. It can be the problem even if you're sober, if you're not practicing spiritual principles. But specifically in this part of the big book, it's talking about the problem that we come out in here with. Then we were on step 9 last week, and we said that in the middle of step 9, we will experience a new happiness and a new freedom. So we're going to talk about some of the promises that are going to address these bedevilments on page 83. So we're going to go from page 82, when we had that woman that she would always scream out, Sheldon, what page? We're going to go from page 52, what page? We're going to go to page 83. Right in the middle of the talk, I'd be like full gallop. I'm like, God, what page? Okay. I miss her. We're going to be on page 83. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Unless one's family expresses a desire to live upon spiritual principles, we think we ought to not to urge them. So in the middle of our amends process, there's going to be a family that's going to witness you changing. They're not going to AA. You're going to AA. So the big book says it's really important for us not to go and act like holy rollers inside our house that we just created havoc in the past decade. Okay? So we destroyed the family. We destroyed the finances. Then we go to some AA meetings and we come in with our big book and we're like, you guys need to change. The big book says, don't do that. It's called leading with the chin, as in boxing. We should not talk incessantly, which means not to stop, to them about spiritual matters. They will change in time. They're waiting to see if you're the real deal. Because talk is cheap. As my sponsor liked to say, when it's all said and done, there's a lot more in AA that's said than done. And our family members have had it up to the top of their heads with us making promises. I'll never drink again. Broken. I'll never spend that again. Broken. I'll be home by 6. Broken. I'll be there at the baseball game. Broken. And then we get 1 or 2 years and we expect that we're like, you know, Mother Teresa and everyone should be like, oh, no. They will change in time. How? If our behavior is consistent with the change. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. What's that old saying my mom used to say? Don't tell me what you're going to do. Show me what you're going to do. We must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone. Right, Manny? I mean, like, we just do what we want. We poop all over everyone. There's a great line in the big book where the tornado passes and the guy comes out, everything's destroyed. And he goes, look, Mom, ain't it grand? The wind stopped blowing. Yeah, for us. But it's going to take some more time for the family to recover. There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we will right them if we could. So there's going to be things that you did that you can't just make up because you go to them and tell them, I apologize. You sold a ring that's been in the family for generations. It came over from England on the Mayflower. You sold it for crack. That's not going to be like, hey, you know that heirloom that's been with our family since the, you know, I'm sorry. That's going to take some time. If we're painstaking about this phase of our development, I don't want you to go faster than me. I want you to stay in the same line I'm in. If we're painstaking about this phase, the ninth step, if we go back and make amends properly, if we're prepared to right all the wrongs, even if we didn't get to them yet, if we're painstaking, if we take the time to do this right, we're going to be amazed even before the ninth step is through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Why? Because many of us in here used alcohol because we didn't know freedom and we didn't know happiness. We knew anxiety. And there was nothing that cured the anxiety so fast as a drink cures that anxiety. But then all of a sudden we get to the ninth step. We go back and start making amends for the things we've done. We feel like we're really in the program because we are. And then all of a sudden something miraculous happens. We start having a new freedom, not the old freedom, a new freedom and a new happiness. Because when I was 12 years old, I was already having mental problems. And those did not get fixed with sobriety. I was 12 years sober. At 12 years sober, at 12 years old, I was already having mental problems. My mental problems did not come from alcohol. Alcohol was the solution to my mental problems. Matter of fact, the moment I take a drink, my mental problems disappear for a moment. And we all know what that looks like. We call it getting right. There's a million different terms that people use. So alcohol is not necessarily the problem. Excuse me. Alcohol is not the problem. The problem is me. I came here, my dear friend Cindy, our friend Cindy from New Jersey says, we came here for our drinking. We stayed for our thinking. We're going to know a new freedom. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for those that love God and are called according to his good purpose. God's using all of this. That ring that you sold that can't be replaced, he's using it. That promise that you made, that you broke, that damaged the family for all time, he's using it. So we're not going to regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it, because that door opens up where we're at tonight. You guys know, I'm not going to have to remind you, some of the new people here, that I was late last week. That was monumental for me. Even though Don said it, and everyone said it, and people said it, and they didn't even start the meeting until I got here, so it's made extra weight on me, and I was like, oh my goodness, I can't even believe this. What did it do? I went to a retreat last weekend where a lot of people were late, and I wasn't late for anything. Then I was at a meeting on Tuesday where I wasn't late. And on a Wednesday night Bible study last night, I wasn't late. And tonight, I was a half an hour early. I'm not even upset about last two. I'm excited that there's been a change, which is going to point us into step 10, which is continue to take personal inventory. And when we're wrong, promptly admit it. If you can't admit when you're wrong, you're not going to change. We will comprehend the word serenity. What? Serenity? I don't even know what that is. It's John's boat. Other than that, I had no idea. Serenity is not peace from the storm. It's peace in the storm. Everybody in this room is going to go through a time in the bucket. Everybody in here is going to go through a painful time in their life. Nobody gets out of life scot-free. And when you get in that bucket, right, Susan, we're all going to be in the bucket from time to time. Sometimes the bucket is going to be worse than and less for others. But everybody in here is going to go through that bucket. And having serenity is not getting in the bucket. Serenity is knowing how to get out. I love that story of the alcoholic that's walking down the street and he sees another alcoholic that's in the hole. And the alcoholic that's in the hole is screaming out, hey, help me. And the one alcoholic that's recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, he jumps in the hole with the alcoholic that's trapped in the hole. And the alcoholic says, and what did you just do? Now we're both stuck in here. And the one alcoholic that's recovered says, don't worry. I've been here. I know how to get out. Follow me. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. And no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. The lower you've been, the more testimony you have. The more tests you've been through, the more testimony you have. That's how you have a built-in helping people. The person with one day can help the person that's just coming in. This whole program was put together by two people with 3 weeks. The big book was written for a guy that had 4 years. We all can be helping each other out. So no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we can see where our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Why? We're drinking. We can't stop drinking. We then stop drinking. And all of a sudden, 3 weeks into stop drinking, we got answers for the new guy that comes in. We're 3 weeks in. We've taken a shower. We've now kept a coffee in our hand. We can still keep the coffee. Someone comes in. They're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. The three-week-old person goes, don't worry. It gets better. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. And we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking should and will slip away. However, if you're in this meeting and you're still completely self-seeking and selfishness has not slipped away, there's just a lot more work to do and you have not completed the steps in a proper fashion. What does that mean? You haven't had a spiritual experience as a result of the steps. There's people that complete the steps and they just did it as check work. They just did it as homework. They didn't get the spiritual experience. So they're still thinking about themselves all the time. You know, that like that movie, Finding Nemo? They're still in the my. They're all about me. But if you've worked this, and even in the middle of this, self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. And this is one I love. I love this. I love all of the promises, obviously. But fear of people will disappear. It's a whole sentence. It's fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. I like to focus on the first part. I said to my sponsor, when am I going to get some money? He said, no, you're still not going to get money. You just won't be afraid about it. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. And here's a good one. And we will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. I wasn't feeling incredibly spiritually centered when I came here tonight. There's a couple things that happened, and I was not feeling perfectly in the mood. So I saw my brother Sheldon. I'm like, let's pray together. We just grabbed each other, started praying each other. We did like heart-to-heart prayer for like 2 minutes. I intuitively knew how to handle a situation that was baffling me because alcoholism doesn't forecast when it's coming. It just comes. But I knew when I saw my brother that we needed to pray together, and he knew it, and so we intuitively both knew what we needed to do, and we just grabbed each other and started praying. The moment we finished, gone. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Alcoholism went away. And then we suddenly realized that God, by the way, it didn't go away permanently. Okay? It just goes away for the moment. Based on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. If you don't maintain your spiritual condition, if you don't maintain the oil in your car, if you don't maintain yourself in the gym, if you don't maintain yourself eating healthy, everything falls apart. Okay? This program is not a last year program. Let me tell you how spiritual I was last year. That's not going to work. This is all based on the maintenance of our spiritual condition today on the 20th or whatever we're at today, December 19th. Yeah. And we suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could do not do it for ourselves. When the pain of changing becomes greater than the pain of not changing, guess what happens? You change. And then they ask us in meetings, and then everyone goes, what are you thinking of? Are these like amazing promises? And then we were really supposed to be saying, no, these are not extravagant promises. These happen to everybody that's worked this step and worked these steps. Everybody that's thoroughly worked these steps, not perfectly, has had a spiritual experience. You're not going to meet someone that has not had a spiritual experience if they've done it the way the book is outlined. And they're being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly. Who's got this real quick? Like in the first year, you were like recovered. Okay. Maybe Ashley. Okay. It took me a long time. Okay. I was on the slower process. So sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they will always materialize if we want. Work for them. People don't like that line. Like, what? It's going to take work. We're going to have to chop wood and carry water. We're going to have to get a sponsor. We need a meeting schedule. We got to have a home group. We have to have a service commitment. This seems extreme. Let me tell you what's extreme. What's extreme is me living in Minnesota and having pawned my car in the winter and having a drug problem and having to walk to the drug dealer's house in pajama pants over snowdrifts in minus 40 degrees below zero weather. That was extreme. And showing up there with no money and asking for credit. I'm like, you know I'm good for it. That was a lot more extreme than spending 17 hours a week in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's a lot more extreme than getting a sponsor. It's a lot more extreme than praying on my knees in the morning and asking God to keep me clean and sober and then thanking him at the end of the night. Having to go talk to Tyrone over the snowdrift when I'm wearing pajamas with no money across town, that was extreme. You know another thing was extreme? Me pretending I was a Native American so that I... so that I can go to a Native American detox in one of the Indian towns in outside of Minnesota. And when they would get to me and ask me what tribe I was in, I'd have to pretend I was mute. That was extreme. This doesn't seem that extreme to me. Like, to me, this seems like the easier, softer way. So this brings us to step 10. You know why my mom's laughing? She knows what happened. She knows the whole story. They eventually kicked me out of there. I want you to know where they are. I'm sorry. They figured out I was from the tribe of half Jewish, half Italian from New York. And they said that wasn't one of the legalized tribes. Now this brings us to step 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. There is no greater step. In my opinion, this is just my opinion. I'm not saying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is an opinion. I try not to give many opinions on the Big Book because the Big Book is perfect in itself. The first 164 pages never needed to be changed and doesn't need to be changed now. But there's no greater step for me that brings me instantaneous humility by me saying I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I am wrong. And then having a process on how to admit that wrong promptly, quickly, in the moment, in the day, in the time it happened. This has been one of the most freeing steps for me in all the years I've been here. And in this current sobriety, I relapsed after having 7 years. But in this current sobriety, in 2 weeks from now, I'll have 23 years. And in this current sobriety, there's nothing that has helped me more than step 10. And my good friends, my mom, and anyone else that knows me have seen me practice this quite often, including this home, including this group, where I had to practice step 10 to you guys for like 20 minutes last week during my step because I came 15 minutes late. And I admitted I was wrong, asked for forgiveness, then made a resolution that it wouldn't happen again. I had people texting me at 7:15 in the morning to see if I was ready for this group at 7:15 at night. Christine's not here tonight, but she was getting me all day. My mother showed up like at 4. She's like, are we ready? We continue to take personal inventory and continue to set any new mistakes as we go along. What does this mean? This is not a fourth step. This is not a fifth step. You don't need to do the fourth and fifth step every couple weeks. You have a tenth step that you need to do maybe daily. Hopefully not daily, but you may. Depending on how explosive and how many defects of character that are getting in the way of your day-to-day. But we don't have to go to the fourth step and the fifth step because we're not letting the garbage pile up. That's the garbage takeout step. That's the dump the whole truck step. This is the handle the business with the sweeper step. This is you have the sweeper. You broke the glass, you sweep it up. You get the broom. Some of you guys are hoity-toity, you get the electric room, whatever it is, you handle it in the moment. That's the 10th step. We don't need to have big bags of garbage, because when I was nasty to Sheldon that time on the phone and I cursed at him, I said all different things, I handled it in that same phone call. Please forgive me. I was a jerk. I have alcoholism. It's not acceptable. Please forgive me. I didn't need to take it. We never even took it past the second day. My mom and I have never had an argument. We're on two different sides of the political spectrum. Don't ask what side it is. We're just on the opposite. We've gotten into different things. We've cleaned it up in a half an hour. She said to me, I'm done with you. Don't ever speak to me again. I said to me, you know what? I'm not going to speak. Next thing, I love you so much. Please forgive me. We don't carry that stuff to the next day. There's no reason for it. Continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admit it. That's called the 10th step. That's called the spot check inventory. And you know when you're wrong. You know when your tongue went faster than your brain. I'm from the north. We speak faster than our brains. We got quick tongues. Like that. You know who else had a quick tongue? The other man that was from New York that wrote this. Bill W. He knew he was going to need this. Because he was reading the Bible when he was writing it, and so was Dr. Bob. And in the Bible, it talks about be quick to ask for forgiveness. Be quick to see where you're wrong. Be quick to clean it up. People that don't clean up their stuff, you can tell. Their faces get squishy. Like this. They don't clean their stuff up. You ask them how they do it, hanging in there. You know that person's not doing a 10th step. They're carrying stuff from yesterday, stuff they didn't need to. Was I selfish? Was I dishonest? Was I wrong? Where do I owe someone amends? It's got a whole entire checklist of things that you need to look out for. If you didn't clean it up at the moment, you have to the end of the night where it says Let me get it. We're on. Who said that? You don't even have your book out. What you asking for? Page 84. And first of all, this is not an overnight matter. This continues for a lifetime. We got someone over back in there that's got 39 years. I think guys got around the same amount of time. We got people in here with decades and decades and decades and decades. They're doing the 10th step today, followed by the 11th step. They're having lives that are working, because nobody gets through life having perfect weeks. There's nobody that I know personally that has perfect weeks. When they asked Mother Teresa, they said Mother Teresa, they were walking around with her in Calcutta. They saw her job, and the reporter said to Mother Teresa, he said, I wouldn't do this job for $1 million. And Mother Teresa said, neither would I. And they said, you must be so close to God all the time. And Mother Teresa said, sometimes I'm not. This is a human condition, not an alcoholic condition. If you are a human being, you're going to have human being conditions. But guess what? We have a supernatural program of the 12 steps that will help you get right footed with God. And one of the most important steps is this step we're talking about right here, the 10th step. It should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness. Any selfish people in here? Hello. Dishonesty. Any dishonest people in here? Hello. Anybody ever have any resentments in here? Hello. I had a resentment when someone was watching me when I came in early tonight. Someone was like, oh, you made it on here on time this week. And fear, the corroding acid in our lives that destroys everything, destroys intimacy, destroys a relationship with other people, destroys the joy that you have. Fear is a corroding vessel that would love to limit your joy of being sober. We got fear of finances. We got fear of people. We got fear of how we look. We got fear of how we sound. We got fear of where we're going to go. We have fear of where we went. It don't. Okay. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. You know, the most amazing thing is we got a God that knows exactly where we're at. We got a God that wants to get you through all that. The entire first 164 pages of our big book continues to point to God. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. Well, those of us that are recovered in here, Norm, myself, my mom, Maddie, Sheldon, we don't go to places and they're serving alcohol and we have to hang on by a thread. We have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Now, we don't bathe in alcohol. We don't hang out at the bar. We're not ordering Diet Cokes for 4 hours at the bar. We're not doing crazy stuff. Well, if someone spills a drink on us, we're not like the wicked wizard. Ah, I'm dying. No, none of that. You know why? Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think I caught your runny nose. I appreciate you. For this time, sanity will have returned. Hallelujah. We were insane. But sanity has returned by the time we get to the 10th step. Because how do you have sanity return? Start doing sane things. You're insane because you do insane things. You have insane thoughts because you're thinking insane thoughts. You want to change an attitude? Move a muscle. You want to become sane? Turn your will and your life over to the care of God, and you will start to be sane. And sanity by the 10th step has returned, because anyone that is humble enough to go and start asking for forgiveness is in sanity, not in insanity. You're in sanity. And when you ask for forgiveness and you really mean it and your heart lines up, Gabriel, with the words in your heart and your inside actions and your outside voice is the same and you're lined up and spiritually centered. Whoo. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it like a hot flame. Would you like a drink? Hee. Like the Matrix. One time I was with Peter and John and my wife, and we were in a Caribbean place, and we were getting ready to speak at a convention, and in the lobby they had a whole pitcher of iced tea in the lobby while we were checking in St. Thomas. It was a gigantic vat of iced tea. It turns out it's Long Island iced tea. Okay, which I did not see the little thing on there. It just happened when I came that the Long Island part was turned down. That's five different liquors. I'm the speaker on Sunday morning. I'm like this. Spit it out. Got the non-alcoholic, washed out my mouth, threw it out. Told Peter, told John. My friends, hey, I just want to let you know I just downed a thing of liquor. And guess what? How much effect it had on me? Zero. God's got you in the palm of his hand. If your motives are right, you're going to be okay. But since then, which is 6 or 7 years ago, I have definitely checked any vats of iced tea that I went to. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. I didn't go for a squeaky peek, another drinky drink. It happened. I spit it out. I gargled, moved on. What's for dinner? Pass the salt. Sanity has returned. And it's the miracle of it, the big book says. And I'm, by the way, none of this is my opinion. I'm just reading the entire text on page 85. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. If you're here and you're not an alcoholic, but you're a drug addict, you're very welcome in Alcoholics Anonymous. We do keep everything focused on alcohol, singleness of purpose. But trust me, anything you have can be healed through God through Alcoholics Anonymous. That was a broad statement, but I'm saying if you have alcoholism or drug addiction. I don't want you to think like toe infection can heal in here, but a lot of stuff. Here's the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe, and protected. When did this happen? In the 10th step. When does it happen? When we start taking a look at, were we selfish? Were we dishonest? Were we resentful? Did we have fear? And we ask God to remove it. And then we go in the 11th step, and guess what we do? We handle it. We don't just think about it and think about the people we owe amends to. We go and we make it right. And then we go and we make an appointment with that person immediately and we handle it. And this is what it says. This is how we react so as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. This is the second place in the big book that it talks about fit spiritual condition. There's one place that says the maintenance of our spiritual condition based on the maintenance. I'm forgetting one word in there. Based on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. I think that's it. And this is saying as long as we're in fit spiritual condition. But then here we go. How did I relapse at 7 years? Let me tell you how I relapsed. It's easy to let up on a spiritual program of action if we rest on our laurels. About 4 years into recovery, I was the cat's meow. I'm like, I don't really need these meetings. I'm 26. I got a full head of hair, white teeth, hair gel, triple black Mustang Cobra, hot girlfriend, big arms. I don't really need meetings. I'm going to just check in on the meetings because I like the people that are in them. I started to let up on all the spiritual principles. I started to come here to give back to you because you were all very sick. My friends are like, you still need to go to meetings? I go, I need to help people. Next thing you know, I'm sitting in a robe that doesn't fit in the back and slippers at Bark. One of the members of my home group, Tall Tom, came in and go, what happened? I don't know. I was just in fit spiritual condition one day and here I am in detox. We are headed for trouble if we do, because alcohol is a subtle foe. How many people in here have relapsed? Come on. How many people relapsed after having a year? Come on. You know why? That's right, Susan. You know why? Because alcohol is a subtle foe. Alcohol doesn't send you a telegram. Hey, next week you're going to be in detox. Next week you're going to have destroyed all the relationships that you built over the last couple years. Everything that you worked on, integrity, honesty, all the things we're going to tear them down in just one drink. Alcohol doesn't tell you that. You know what it tells you? It tells you you're good. You don't need a meeting. Meetings are for people that need it. You don't need it. You go to meetings because you want it. Matter of fact, one of my friends that just relapsed, I told him he needed to be here tonight. Is he here tonight? No. You know why he's not here? Because he doesn't think he needs it. You know why I go to meetings? My mom, after 45 years, go to meetings? Because I know I need it. I'm not in any jeopardy tonight of drinking, or am I? You never know when it's going to hit. You never know when something's going to come. You never know when all of a sudden you're going to be in Cozumel, Mexico in a perfect day with my mom and my dad and my wife and my son and my friends from Alcoholics Anonymous and Jerry, who's celebrating 10 years today and everything was going great. My dad, 85 years old, gets up and says he's going to go hang gliding, but whatever that balloon is, parasailing. 85 years old, my dad gets up, he says he's going to go parasailing, and he did. I was having the best day of my life. My partner was there with me. He had just given me a beautiful gift for my 50th birthday. I was in great shape. I'm in one of those perfect pools where you have the chair inside the pool. You know what I mean, Ashley, where the chairs are in the pool. It's like the perfect weather. You got the sun on you. My friend Jimmy just came by and gave me a $100 cigar for my birthday. Wow. My favorite song came on, Despacito. At that moment, I felt like I could dance. I got up in the pool. I got the cigar. The day was perfect. I thought I could dance. I'm out there going, Despacito. Right at that exact moment, 20 years sober. Oh, no, 17 years sober. The man came by in a little cart, little Mexican man. Mojitos. Mojitos. I had never had a mojito. A mojito, as Wilfredo will tell you, is a Spanish drink that's made with sugar and mint leaves. And at that moment, I said to myself, you know what? I never had a mojito. This is like the best day of my life. If I had a mojito, it'd make it even better. Alcoholism in that moment had returned. I didn't even know it. I had a thought that a mojito would be amazing in this perfect pool situation. And thank God I was surrounded by a band of witnesses and other alcoholics that are in recovery. And my friend Scott Fleming was in the middle of the pool. And somehow out of nowhere, he didn't even know. My mother's was next to me. Nobody knew I was having a moment of alcoholism. And he says, hey, Steve. And I go, what, Scott? And he says, you know the only thing that could ruin today? And I go, what, Scott? He goes, alcohol. Sanity returned. Now, I wasn't in any jeopardy of ordering a mojito. I had a thought. But when you're placed in a position of neutrality, it's not like it's going to be easy to bring you over, but you never know. That's why we continue to do this thing, and we need to stay in fit spiritual condition. Every day is a day that we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. You know what God's will for me? Not to drink mojitos. You know what my God, what my will for me is? To be mojito drinking. You know what my will for me is? Hanging out in pools in perfect weather, not going to work. That's my will. Okay? Pride, anger, greed, gluttony, envy, lust, and sloth. Sloth is laziness. I love sloth. I think sloth could be a character asset if it's done right. God's will for me is not to get out of the pool. Don't drink the mojito. Put your clothes on. To me, I'm saying, put your clothes on. Go help the newcomer that just came struggling into the bar area, but you're only thinking about yourself and your tan. God's will for me is to do the work. You know what? Get out of the pool and start chopping some wood and carrying the water. Because the next thing you know, you're going to be in detox in paper slippers in a gown that doesn't fit. And you're going to say, do you know just last week I was in Mojitoville? And this is where I want to tie it up for you. Every day is a day that we need to be acting in God's will. The 11th step is going to tell us two instructions. On awakening and on retiring. Next week, we're going to be in step 11 and 12. We're going to do two steps in 1 week. And I want you to know something before you get to that. If you're struggling right now, get on your knees tonight. Ask God to give you his grace. And ask him to take away this disease that you have that's going on in your brain. And instruct you on the person that's going to be able to help you in this. There's a lot of new people here tonight. I want you to know I can't do it without my we. I can't do it without my sponsor. I can't do it without my team. I can't do it without my mentors. I can't do it without the people that are around me. I constantly get in my own way. But God could and would if he were sought, so we really need to seek him out. God bless you guys.
We have tonight's session and all our past speaker podcasts for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. And again, I'd like everyone to join us on Monday nights in this room at 7:15. We do the big book study. And those who wish to thank the speaker tonight, line up down the center aisle. And let's close seated with the Lord's Prayer. Who keeps us sober today?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever.
I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah, the only thing that I can do. When you laughing.
when you're laughing. Yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope I'm
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Shine a light. shine a light on me tonight. Got one man that just won't say.